Jesus.
Well, greetings to each one. Definitely find it a blessing to be gathered with each of you this morning. And thank you, Brother Simon, for those kind words here at the opening. I was been blessed at the kindness and love that I'm wondering, is this thing on? Are you all with me? Okay, very good. Very good. Well, this morning I would like to, I've had a topic on my heart. I feel it was the Lord that laid it there. I think we'll just write the title up here, and I guess we'll see how many of you are still here after I get the title wrote up here. Might scare all of you. Parental Government of the Family. And this is a subject, my dear brothers and sisters, that I'm not sure that I'm qualified to speak on. In fact, I'm pretty sure I'm not. And so if you'll just bear with me here as we open this subject together. I would at the beginning here ask our children and our young people to be gracious with us. There's things said today that you could take note of, and you could take them home, and you could they could be a hindrance to you. But I'm asking you to open your heart and allow these thoughts to rather help establish, give you a vision to help establish maybe what God wants you to do, or maybe how God wants you to administrate or govern your family. The other thing that, if you'll allow me to, and I think we'll share more about this later, the other thing I would like to share with us young people and us children is my father, he wasn't given very much. My grandfather was a poor soul. And think about, if you children will allow yourselves to consider possibly what your parents were given, and how much they've done with what they've been given. I think it will go a long way in establishing a right heart as we consider some of this. My father gave me much more than he was given. And yeah, there was a lack in what he received, but it's been a blessing to my life. And if you can look at your parents in that way, I think it will bless you. The other thing, this is a subject that I'm still learning about, and I'm going to probably present a lot of this as in that way. Yeah, I again have had the opportunity to observe, and we hear a lot about the home. We hear a lot about what the children that have went astray, and we hear a lot about those things. And there's so many things that can be pointed out. But I just want to encourage us that I think this is something I'm not sure about here, but in a lot of plain churches, I believe how the family is administrated, how the family is governed, how the family is guided, I think it's one of the most crucial things about the home, and you never hear it talked about. You never hear it discussed. And in all honesty, I have the thought that much of what happens in the children's lives are a result of slothful administration in the home, a lack of government, a lack of guiding, a lack of administration in the home. And I believe this is the very foundation. The other thought, as it comes to me here, again, we talked about how God does things last night. And here again, I see God taking from heaven government. The way God governs heaven, I see he's brought it to the church level. And then from the church level, he's brought it to the family level. I see, you know, in the church you have lead elders, bishops, and then you have ministers and deacons. In the home, you have the father, the mother, and the children. I see God administrating and governing heaven the same way he's asked the church to be governed, the same way he's asked the family to be governed. And we don't want to bring the church government in here. That's another topic that's close to my heart that I have a lot to learn about. But it's something I think that is important. The way I think, just to help you, the way I think is that there's really no reason that any of our children need to lose their way or be lost till Christ returns. I think that God has given us everything that we need so that there shouldn't even be children on the outskirts. There shouldn't even be children struggling. I think God has so richly provided. And I think when God gave administration and government, I think his thought was, this is so sufficient that If everyone does these things, no one will ever be lost. No one will lose their way. I think that was God's heart. And I think that's how thoroughly God gave us these things in His Word. Is that maybe those ideals are too high? But I don't think that it's been God's heart that we've had the lack in our conservative churches with administration in the family or even in the church. And I don't think that there's things lacking with God. I think there's maybe things that God wants to teach me and teach us in that way. So if we can look at this topic this morning, there's much about it that I'm sure that I'll miss, but I do have different aspects of it that we'd like to consider. Now, government is the art of guiding aright the vessel. Now, there needs to be somewhere, maybe God will bring it later, I think there needs to be some recognition of fathers that lead that are dictators and lead completely by authority. And I think there's been a reaction to that, and maybe we can discuss some of that later. But it's the art of guiding the vessel right. We are made with free choice, and I want to be very careful how we consider this subject today. But it's a subject that I think we want to consider with God's help. I think the first thing, one of the things that comes to my mind is it's easy for us parents to live in ignorance of the deep intent of our enemy to destroy our family. And if we can just for a few minutes consider America, family life in America has changed so much in my short lifetime. The enemy knows God's plan, and the enemy knows what all the family means to God's kingdom. And the enemy knows what all the family means to the Church of Jesus Christ. And the enemy has succeeded in destroying the family. And as the family goes, so goes the morale in our nation. And we, as a parents, if nothing else, I would like for us to wake up with complete alertness to the very intense desire that our enemy has to destroy our family. It seems many times when I talk to couples and stuff, or oblivious to the intensity of that desire and the intensity of the attack on our family. And I just want to say, even when it comes to relationships with siblings, if siblings of yours have children that are not a good influence, I haven't always been the most popular. It's not my goal in life. But I have protected my children. And even if a sibling has children that are not a good influence on my family, I stand and protect my children against that influence. And I want to encourage you children. The enemy has many different ways he wants to bring influence into our families. And I just want us to think about that. Seeking whom he may devour. And he stops of north. His goal is total destruction. We don't necessarily see that in the church, but out in the world, has he had his way? It seems like so many families have been totally destroyed. That is the enemy. That is what he wants to do with our families, and may we be aware of that. I believe, as I've studied this, that the family has been God's way of establishing true, godly faith for generation after generation after generation after generation. I believe that when God gave administration to the family, when he set everything up the way he did, I think there was no thought in his mind that this should work. There should be generation after generation after generation of faithfulness to God. That's the way I think God had intended it to be. Now, if you'll allow me to, I'd like to just talk a little bit about government for the next few moments here. And again, I'd like to do this in a very cautious spirit. I know that we have different ways of possibly looking at this. And the one thing I think I would preface this with by saying that I have tried to leverage time my way. As I've considered administration in the family, I've observed, and I have some thoughts that still need further perfected, but I can't help but feel that there's a burden on my heart for the thoughts I have. And this is one thing I would say. Slothful administration in the family has always led to decay. I have never seen earnest administration lead to anything but blessing. That is my observation. Slothful administration has always led to decay. Earnest administration has led to nothing but godliness, contentment, and blessings in the family, in the family life, if you'll allow me to share that. I believe that God made us to be governed. I don't believe there's a human alive that God intended to put on earth and have him do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. I just don't see God doing that. God made us, the way he made us, is he wants us to be guided, governed, he wants administration to have input in our lives. And the one of the reasons that I say this is I don't have much to do with technology or the news or whatnot in any way, and I don't. But every here and there, I pick up a story about this young person that died young in his 20s or in his 30s. And I just want to say that this happens a lot more than we know. We have all these people in our country that is blessed with everything that a human could want. And yet, at a very young age, over and over, these people are dying. Why is it? They're completely out from under any kind of administration or government in their life. Why should they not be blossoming? If our society, if the mentality we have about administration and government, if that is right, these young people should be thriving. They're free. They can do whatever they want, whenever they want. Why are they dying young? It's not been God's heart. It's not God's heart that we as humans have this mindset about being governed or guided or ruled or commanded, or you can use the words you want. I know these can be hard words to us today, but I have watched incident after incident, and I am completely convinced that it's not God's heart. He didn't make us that way. We are made to be administrated to by others. We're made to be the things that we cannot just go out and, how can I say this? We as people are constantly receiving. We're constantly, without even knowing it, we're constantly looking to take things in. And it's the sources that we take them in from that determine what fruit we have in our lives. But anyway, we're getting off on rabbit trails here. I'd just like to spend a little time here trying to convince us that government is not wrong. When I say this, I'm not talking about the government of the United States of America or even of Pennsylvania. I'm sure the government of Pennsylvania is far more honorable than the government of Indiana even possibly is. But that's not really what I'm talking about as I use this word. I'm talking about us as parents not being... Yeah, we'll get to more of that later, I think, here. We are never more free and more complete and more whole as human beings than we are completely under the governing guidance that God has set in place for us. I really believe that. Those young people out there that are dying young, there is not one thing in their life that can control them. They are so free to do whatever they want, and they're destroying themselves. I have watched life after life blossom under the governing guidance that God has designed for the life. And I've watched a complete opposite when that's not there. I think we've allowed some deception into our lives as to what true freedom is. True freedom is not being able to go do whatever you want, whenever you want, not having to answer to anyone, not having to be accountable to anything or anyone, and just, I am completely free, I can go do whatever I want, whenever I want. And we have in our minds, that's freedom. But when you read the Word of God, and when you study His plan, and when you study how did it work in heaven when Satan rebelled? Anyway, we'll get to more of that later. A family or church that rules you is a place where you're the most perfectly free. Please welcome, embrace, invite, and seek after government, guidance, and rule for areas of your life. You will never be more free. Now, I know that we can take this to the point where we have people doing things that are not edifying. We can misuse this. There are cults that have people doing things that are against the Word of God, and that's not what I'm talking about. But just because there's cults that do that doesn't mean that we should all shy away from godly administration. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you." Listen to that word. And I know I believe in servant leadership. I don't believe in strong, heavy-handed, authoritative. I believe in cultivating relationships. I believe in winning the heart. There's a really good chance that I'll be misunderstood, that my heart will be misunderstood as I share these thoughts here today, but that's okay. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. This word means to rule, to govern, to guide. Parents are called to rule the family, to rule the household, to govern, to guide. The servants, elders, deacons, the ministry, the servant body, they're called to govern and guide and rule the church. The spirit in which we do this is of utmost importance. But maybe we can consider some of this later. But I believe we experience the greatest freedom as God's people when we surrender and just give ourselves up to whatever that rule and guidance is in our lives. Here's a scripture that I want to go with what I said earlier. 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in thee also. So here we have Paul talking to Timothy, and Paul mentions Timothy's grandmother, and he mentions Timothy's mother. And do you think Timothy had faithful children? We don't really know, but I like to think that Timothy had faithful children, and that Timothy's children had faithful children, and that those children had faithful children. And that's the way I think. I know that's God's heart. I know that should be what we all experience. And I think we have different scriptures we could go to that share that. But God has made us this way. We're made to be guided. Man left to himself has proven over and over to destroy himself. Now, let's consider a train here for an example. Let's picture five big, strong locomotives or train engines that pull hundreds of cars. Picture those five engines sitting out here on the parking lot with a whole line of cars behind them, and then the conductor, he starts up all of these engines and he puts them in gear and they just sit there. What happens? They just sit there and spin. But you put these same five engines on a track and you start up those engines, it's amazing the things that the power that's harnessed, the things that those five engines can do. Rail is still the cheapest way to move things in America. And it's amazing, but those engines are confined to those two rails. Those two rails completely confine and restrict where those engines, where they go, has been predetermined where that train goes. But when those engines surrender to that predetermined governance, it's amazing what happens. And there's many areas in our life that are like that. Electricity. You can have all the electricity in the world sitting somewhere. What good is it until that electricity is confined to the lines that bring it into our home? Once it comes into our home, we can plug in. It's amazing that it's amazing what all can happen. The useful resource that electricity becomes. But you have it just sitting out in the power plant. What good is it to anyone? And I believe that God has arranged our lives. I believe there's more examples like that we could go to. But God has arranged our lives that we can be guided and governed in that way. A train is never more free than when it stays in the confines of those two rails. You set it out somewhere else, it's useless. Those two rails completely govern that train and decide where it goes. Slothful administration always leads to decay. I have not seen it different. And I just want to put out a plea to us here, to my own life, to us as fathers and mothers. Have we allowed the cries of legalism, bondage from our evangelical friends? Have we allowed those cries to handcuff us as parents, to paralyze us, to make us afraid? Have we allowed those cries to paralyze us and to cause us to be unfruitful and to not move in this area? The other thought that I want to say that I've been trembling before God is we think that God will be more happy with us if we don't overdo the administration. But I feel that we're going to be asked to give account before God for how we administrate, whether we do it slothfully or whether we do it earnestly. It's easy for us to shy away and make sure we don't do something wrong, and in that way allow carelessness and slothfulness into our administration, And somehow we think we won't be held accountable for that. But somehow we feel like we'll be held more severely accountable when we administrate wrong. I'm just saying, my heart is that I think we'll give account for administration both ways. And I think that we want to be earnest in our administration. I think God can bless that. Scriptures here, Psalm 119, 43 to 45. And this scripture here, maybe we'll skip that. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, verse 16 to 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 to 18, if you have your Bibles. It says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. It's interesting that the word liberty here and free are used as it talks about men. It talks about brotherhood. It talks about the king. It talks about servants and masters. And it uses that word here. The picture is that we have been freed from the bondage of sin and darkness to serve God. And God wants us all to be under right godly guidance, right administration. Guidance brings many merits. Guidance brings blessings and care. It brings peace and quietness, love and harmony. It brings the favor of God along with the protection of God. Godly administration brings nothing but blessings to our life. That's been the way God designed it. Parental government of the family. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Also, I thought of this scripture here in Genesis, that's been on my heart here. Genesis 18:19. God says this about Abraham. He says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. There was no God. This is God talking. He knew what was going to happen to Abraham's family, and I think he knows. He wants that for our family. I think we should have more assurance in this way. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, the first question this morning we'd like to consider as parents, have we taken responsibility for the government of our family? Have you taken that responsibility, and have you taken it seriously? What we find is many times parents haven't together taken complete responsibility to guide the family. They somehow think the Spirit of God is going to do it, and we can't do it without the Spirit. They blame things that have happened in the past. They feel like they're incapable. They feel like past failures have disqualified them. The list goes on and on, my dear brothers and sisters. This is not just a small matter. It's actually a pretty big matter in our conservative churches if we're going to have a godly family. There's less parents that are working together and have taken this responsibility completely as theirs. There's less of that than you think to guide the family. The reasons are many. Past failure, feeling incapable, fear of failure, ignorance, deception, blame. You know, so-and-so did this, and for this reason, I've never really been able to lead my family. Lack of concern, priorities being out of line, headship out of order in the home, disgruntled with the church. This happens over and over. We just can't quite agree with the church. We can't quite surrender and give ourselves to the government of the church. So that always ends up in a lack of government in the home. And not always, but most times it does. When we can't give ourselves under administration as a father, then we're going to struggle in administration in our home. Because it's God ordained. It really is. Disgruntled with the church. Struggle in the parents' relationship with each other. This is another big one. There's parents, you cannot leave struggles in your relationship and think that your administration in the home is not going to be affected by struggles in your relationship. Relationship challenges will affect the administration in your home. They do. One or the other of the parents has just silently given up. Or maybe you as parents have decided, it's not worth it. I've tried and tried, and this is what happens over and over. But But I'm just here to tell you, whether you are active this morning and have completely embraced this responsibility for your family, and whether you have or not, you will be asked to give account for it. And I'm just wanting to encourage you. I'm wanting to convince you, this is the first step. Choose today that I am responsible. It stops here. Maybe there's repentance that's needed. Maybe you've done a lot of things wrong in the past. But if you don't take anything else with you today, parents, if you don't take anything else home with you today, take this with you. I, from this day going forward, me and my wife are taking complete responsibility for the administration in our family. It's a big one. You would be amazed at how many couples you will sit with, and you'll start hearing their heart. And this is one of the first things, this is one of the first needs that come out. And you have no idea how many young people that have lost their way, that they come to a meeting or they come somewhere and God touches them. And this is what they say. I wish I had parents that would tell me what to do. I wish I had parents that would guide me. It's a need, brothers and sisters. I wish I had parents that would instruct me and tell me what to do and help me in my life. And I have caught tears. I'm not just saying this. I catch the tears of our young people that want parents to tell them what to do, to guide them and instruct them and administrate in their lives. They want that, but they don't get it because we're afraid. What are all the reasons in our lives today? We could take every one of these things that were mentioned, past failure, feeling incapable, fear of failure, ignorance, deception, blame, lack of concern isn't really a big one, but priorities out of line, headship out of order in the home, disgruntled with the church. Now you don't even really have to say a lot till your young people know that you're not happy with the church. And if that's there, work through it. I'm not saying the church is this place where there's never things to work through. But if there's relationship challenges in the church, you can't just leave them there. They will affect the administration that you have of your family. And who is going to suffer? When the family is not being administrated in a godly way, who suffers? Then the children apostatize. The children leave the faith, and then everyone points the finger to children. Those are just evil children. No, many times it's this foundation. I think this is one of the root causes, my dear parents, of our children turning out the way they do. Many children have been lost by this lack. I feel have lost their way. Now, are there children from godly homes that have had God administration that have decided to leave? I'm sure there have. But when you look at the multitudes and I think you hear my heart there. I want to say that the hundreds of children that have left home, and I'm not here wanting anyone to feel guilty, but I'm wanting you to hear the voice of those children today. And I'm asking, would you, parents, would you allow me to be the voice of these children that have left home where there has not been godly administration, where we haven't taken that responsibility, where we've allowed blame and we've allowed all these other things to keep us from doing it? Would you allow me to be the voice of those children today? And would you hear their heart? Would you hear their voice? Would you hear what could have possibly, and would you take heed to these things? Would we today together? Conflict in the marriage. Are you like-minded in your marriage? Are you like-minded with your church? Philippians says, fulfill ye my joy. Philippians 2, verse 2 to 4. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I think there's tremendous direction. I think there's tremendous wisdom for us as parents in this scripture right here to help us to godly administrate in our families. Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, the Bible talks about what happens to the home in my mind. I've looked at it this way for years. Luke 11, 21 and 22 says, When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, And when you look that word palace up, it means house. When a strong man armed keepeth his house, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come up on him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils. And his spoils are the souls of his children. I believe that's the most precious thing we have. And so when we as parents are not willing to be responsible, then a stronger comes in and divides the souls of our children. We should talk a little bit about headship out of order here as a point here. Some families suffer being out of order, and we'll just read these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of man is Christ. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by conversation of the wives. Now, subjection here is the act of subduing, the act of bringing oneself under the dominion of another. Now, a couple things. There's this alone could use this. It's easy to blame the wife of a absent father for being out of her place. You hear what I'm saying? Are there any, if you're an absent father in the home, what choice does your wife have but to try to pick up and make the best that she can? And I just want to encourage you, be really careful. It's easy to place a lot of blame on the wife when the husband is absent. He's just not there. He's there, but he's not functioning. He's either quit, or he's given up, or he's in bondage, or there's handicap, or for something. So I think we should be careful. And the other thing I want to say is God's greatest blessing is when the two are completely together. Yes, we as husbands need to make decisions. We do. But I hardly ever do that without hearing my wife's heart, and as my children get older, without hearing their heart. It's a working together. It's not the picture of a dictator that just dominates and rules the home with authority. You will never by authority have the results that you want in your home. It will never happen. We're servants. We're here to serve our family. We're here to give our lives for our family in that way. We can use this. I just want to encourage you, as a father, don't cripple your wife with this. Well, get in your place. You're just out of order. Get in your place. I don't know when the last time was I've said that to my wife. Now, there's times that we maybe need to help them see, you know, that they're maybe out of line, but it's easy to cripple our wives and misuse this. And the other thing, wives, since the fall, it is natural for wives to want to control, and that's something we need to lay down as wives. I'm not speaking against that. The picture that I'd like to leave with you on this subject is being heirs of the grace of life. You know, what is an heir? An heir has a tremendous promise, a promised inheritance. And 1 Peter 3:7, this has been a special verse to us. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. What does knowledge teach us? What do we gain from knowledge? We should know our wives. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, being heirs together of the power of God, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And I'm telling you, memorize this verse. Practice it in your marriage. Practice it in your life. There is unending direction in this verse for your marriage. It's been powerful. The next thing that I think we should touch on when we think of family administration is there's been a lot of emphasis on relationships. And you almost get the picture that relationships are above everything else that God has ordained to guide and govern the family. Relationship, relationship, relationship. So what we say is, if you don't have a relationship, you have no right to give them any direction whatsoever. And my dear brothers and sisters, let's reconsider. I know how important relationships are, how fragile they are, but God has taken His design from heaven, He's given it to the church, and He's given it to the family. We cannot just completely focus on relationship. Most times this is what happens, in all honesty. There's rebellion in the heart of the child. And that rebellion causes the child to not honor the parents. And you cannot just work on that relationship when there's rebellion and think the relationship's going to answer it, be the answer to this, or be the solution. You can never pet rebellion away. You can never buy rebellion. You can never have enough acts of kindness to get rid of rebellion. You have to dig into the heart and life of that child, and you have to, that child needs to repent of the rebellion in its life so that it can have proper respect for authority. Or you can have all the relationship you want. It will not do you any good. It really won't. I want to watch how I say that. I'm just saying, you cannot buy rebellion. You cannot pet it. You can do nothing but repent of it. And you need to help your children do that. And if you can't do it, ask for other help. When there's a disrespect for parents and all of this in the child's life, a relationship is not going to fix the problem. Hebrews 12:9 says, God's design, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. How do you think that correcting looked? This is the Hebrew writer. They corrected us, and we gave them reverence. It tells us here, we reverenced them for it. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? There's an amazing message here. The other thing that I would say that deserves more time than we're probably going to give it today is, it doesn't matter why don't we stand for a little bit? Can we stand? I think we need to be really careful that we don't come between parents and children. I believe the church is the authority over the home in many ways. I do. But I think that it's been easy for us to reach into homes where we think the parents are lost and where there's darkness, and to come between children and parents' relationships. And I think I think we need to be really, really careful and discerning the way we do that. Okay, you may be seated here. The other thing that on this topic of family administration, I'd like for us to consider, parents, we're called to restrain and instruct our children. Children are naturally inclined to vanity and things that are not good. And they need to be guarded and restrained, not only by instruction and admonition and advice, but by proper authority. We cannot neglect this. Eli did. Eli was severely judged. And let's just read these scriptures. 1 Samuel 3:12. It says, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. This is God speaking. 1 Samuel 3:12-14. It says, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. So God is saying, Eli, you knew the iniquity that was in your home, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Eli did not restrain his sons. And God says, therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Now, it's easy for us to read over these words and not take the severity of them. This was an amazing judgment from God, that Eli did not restrain his children. And we as parents, I feel like that's our responsibility. Even when an older son, when there's something in his life, it don't all have to happen in one day or this and that, but I won't give up. I'll continue to entreat with tears, entreat until I see that brought to where I want it. You cannot just turn your back to parents on things in your children's life and think, oh, well, it's going to go home with them. No, it's also going to come home with you. Look at what God did in the Old Testament here with Eli. And I think that we need to take this responsibility of restraining our children more seriously. I really do. Eli was otherwise personally a very good man. You don't see hardly any other faults brought to his attention, do you? Did Eli sin? Was there other things in the Bible that were pointed out about Eli? I didn't find them, but he didn't restrain his children. And he got severely judged for it. He was too lenient and too passive. This is what the Bible teaches us. These are two things we should avoid. We should avoid being too lenient or passive, and we should avoid being too harsh and hard-hearted. Eli's sin was he was too lenient and too passive, and he didn't restrain his children. The next point we should consider here is hypocrisy in the parents. Matthew 23:28 says, even so, ye also appear also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now this hypocrisy means they pretended. They were lying. They were not sincere and genuine. And parents, I could take every one of your children to this room right over here, and within 5 minutes, they could tell me how sincere you are about God, how serious you are about your walk. And I trust you are. I'm not here bringing judgment or any of that. That's not what I'm saying. But your children know your heart, and that goes further than what you say. Do you believe me? They do. They know how sincere you are. And if there's hypocrisy in your lives as parents, and you think you're going to have godly administration or godly government of your family, you're deceived. You're not going to do that. This little account, it's a very little account, but it's a picture of hypocrisy. It says, with one hand, he put a penny in the offering for the poor and needy, and with the other hand, he took the penny out at the same time. I, as a young boy, I watched someone do that. My dad, we had an engine shop, and we had a little plastic bowl, and we had an honor system. We sold candy bars and different things, and people would just pitch the money in there. Several times, I watched someone put the quarter in and take it right back out and put it in his pocket like no one saw him. And as a young boy, I watched him do that, and it just really, I went to Dad and said, Dad, he just stole. I couldn't believe he did that. But that's hypocrisy. That's a picture of hypocrisy. Your children know if you're genuine by how you live. They know your heart. Philippians 1:10 says, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Confusion in the home, if you'll allow me to, yeah. Confusion in the home. The Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace as in all the churches of the saints. Confusion is a mixture of several things. Disorder, different voices, differing ideas, lack of clarity, a state of disorder. And my dear parents, there's more of this in our homes than we want to recognize. And I just want to leave this thought with you. As dads, please tuck this one away. Go home and be very sensitive to where you think there's a lack of understanding. I'm not saying this in the wrong way, but where things just aren't clear. Where a child thinks this or this, and things just are not clear. You have no idea. This has been a big toll of the enemy. In the church and in the home is confusion. People really don't know, so they just, how can you press into something when there's a lack of clarity? May God help us to be clear. Is it okay or is it not? Is it good or is it bad? Is it right or is it wrong? Maybe not everything falls into one of these categories, but I'm asking you, as godly administrators of your home, just give clear direction. Some of the things don't really matter, but your children will know, okay, we're going to do this or we're not. Let's do this, let's not do this. Don't be afraid to give clear direction in that way. James says, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Let all things be done decently in an order. Be always mindful of things, of areas or things in the home that are not clear, and work to bring clear understanding. Paul says this, take this scripture with you. 2 Corinthians 3:12. He says, seeing then that we have this hope, we use great plainness of speech. Great plainness of speech is a blessing. It's a blessing. Great plainness of speech. Paul wasn't afraid of that. We shouldn't be either. There's some things here on vision and inspiration. I think maybe we'll go on here. I'm not sure. Oh, so brother, the next session before lunch too. I'm probably up. My time's up probably. Okay. I'll try to start finishing up here. Let the Lord lead us here. Yeah. I'm going to talk about, we talked a lot about government, but I want to leave you things, some tools to help your government yet before I just close up here. Parents should teach godly values. And let's talk about this a little bit. Family values are important. Don't be afraid of values. God's word is full of precepts, principles, and values, things that God values. And we can bring them right into our home. What are the things God wants us as parents to implant, to teach, and to practice in our family? We as parents, let's sit together. Let's make a list. Let's put it on paper. What are the things that God wants us to value in our home? Values are passed down to the next generation many times. They're important. Values help us define behavior in various situations. They help youth make good choices. They bring bond and security to the family. Values are they are a friend to us as a family, a godly family. If this need is in your home, it's never too late to invest values or to change them. So I'm just going to quickly name a few here here to help you. Being respectful and courteous with our words and actions. Volunteering time and skills to the church and community. Being generous with what you have. Being honest with others. Learning the value of teamwork. Treating everyone equally. Jesus Christ brought equity to men. He brought, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. And that's a value we should teach our children. All of these that I'm quickly naming here could be expounded on. Proper respect for the law and respecting those who enforce it, the police officers. You know, police officers are not someone to be afraid of. The Bible says that they are terror to those that are doing evil things. Why don't we stand? Should we stand a little bit? Of course, some of you are taking notes, huh? Yeah, we'll have you all stand. I see some of you are tired. Maybe just have a seat again so you can keep taking notes. Is that all right? And we're going to finish up here very shortly. You can be seated here. Proper respect for the law. Hard work. This is one that many times we don't have to spend a lot of time teaching. Somehow we as conservative people, we love hard work. We can work and work and work, and we love it. But being honest and trustworthy, being courageous, never giving up. If you don't plant anything else in your children, put a grit in them. I'm not talking about being stubborn. I'm saying that when there's something, it doesn't matter how big it is, you don't give up. We press in. It's amazing what you can accomplish. Never giving up. Adding value to whatever you do. In other words, you can have this thing where people go and they just take and they destroy. Or people can go and it doesn't matter what it is, they can add value to it. I'm amazed at my dear wife. She can take nothing and make a bunch of good out of it. I'm not sure how she does it. But adding value to whatever you do, that's a value. Being patient. Taking personal responsibility. Thinking of the consequences before you act. That's a value. Think about this before you just do this. Think about it. Treat others with compassion and respect. Put your best effort towards every task. Always continue to learn. I've made it for years ago, and I have a long way to go, but I've decided I'm just going to learn everything I can the rest of my life. And I think you have to be careful where you go to get those things, but learn, use church history. Church history has been a blessing to me, and I have so much more to learn. But continue, that's a value. Instill it in your children for the rest of your life. Maybe you're done with school, but we're going to continue to teach ourselves. We're going to continue to learn. Celebrate victories. Celebrate those victories. We'll talk more about this tomorrow maybe, but use money to do things together as a family rather than to buy things. In other words, to have all these possessions that we store up. Money can be used for godly family things. Remember to not always act on how we feel. That's a value that sometimes we need to talk about. Sever relationships with people that are going to be a bad influence. Maybe you can't believe that I said that, but I do really feel that we have been so slow to do that we just let bad influence continue to affect our family administration. And I don't think we should do that. Treat other people's possessions with care and respect. Listen, since all opinions are important. And I want to encourage you, that's hard work. And I really enjoy it. I would rather sit and listen. I enjoy listening, but it's something you have to practice. The Bible, Jesus says over and over, him that has ears to hear, let him hear. And I'm saying it's a value to put in your children. Instead of them always running their mouth, let them be listening. It's a value. Always strive, even when it comes to safety. Safety at home. Safety in the workplace. Safety on the road. You know, we don't think about some of these values, but many times we inconvenience other of God's people to help us pay bills that could have been prevented if we'd have taught some safety in our home. It's something. It's not wrong to do some of this. I want to just mention too, the spirit of abortion in our society can affect our churches. It really can. And I just want to encourage you. I'm not going to say a lot because my time's up. But the spirit of abortion in children and parents, I've ran into it some, especially with people that want to be part of the church. And I just feel like that's, our children are going to sense that. If we have that spirit where we don't really want children It's going to affect our godly administration of our family. Let family government be like that of our Heavenly Father, mild, gentle, and affectionate. Let family administration be that way. Earnest administration brings nothing but what is good for us and our families. In closing here, there's two things I want to say. Parents, again, take this with you. There is a lion crouched at the door of your family. His hate for God is unmatched by any other. He is fierce. His powers to devour and destroy are great. He is day and night and actively in pursuit of the prey of the souls of your children. Parents, are we awake? Are we alert? Are we watching? Are we standing guard? Are we resisting the devil? Are we protecting our family? And have we wholeheartedly embraced the complete responsibility to have godly government of our family, to godly administration? May God help us do this. I want to leave this account with you. I hope it will move your heart. A man and his young son were climbing a mountain. They came to a place where the climbing was difficult and even dangerous. The father stopped to consider which way he should go. He heard the boy behind him say, "Be careful, Dad. Choose the right path, Dad, because I'm coming along right behind you. I'm coming along right behind you." And my parents, godly administration in your family will make it so much easier for your children. They're coming along right behind you. May God plant that in your heart. Be careful, Dad. Choose the right path, because I'm coming right behind you. May God bless you.